You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Time Kevin Bacon returns as the Invisible Man.
Oh,
it's so nice to see Hollow Man 2. Wait, there actually was a Hollow
Man 2.
Did anybody
else block Hollow Man from your memories? He comes back in there every once in a while. You think, man, that was cool.
It was a weirdly important movie for me because I was like 12 or 13 when it came out.
Oh, thank you.
And
for
it's
that.
Like a movie. It's Paul Verhoeven, right?
Yeah.
That he, you know, he makes like I don't want to disparage like any intellectual stuff he does, but that's kind of made for the 13-year-old boy and all of us. And if you are a 13-year-old when it comes out.
It was the Zapped of its time.
it's pervy as hell.
It's so wrong.
All I'm saying is there's action and boobs in it. But when you're 13, you don't really think about it, especially then.
Paul Verhoeven, the man who made Showgirls, has said, that may not have been the best idea I ever had.
Yeah.
I probably should not have done that.
I mean, that's the last time I'm aware of. There's been a take on the Invisible Man.
Yeah, that was the last one.
I remember, and God knows I haven't seen it since it originally came out, but John Carpenter did a movie with Chevy Chase.
And I love it.
Memoirs of Invisible Man. And weirdly, I read the book of that first. The book was a New York Times bestseller. And I was like, okay, that's a thing. I remember liking the book going, this is cool, I'm excited. And then Carpenter chose to make it kind of a slightly more goofy comedy. I couldn't even
anymore. It's a comedy. It's a film noir. It's like a little chase movie.
It's the only Carpenter movie I've never seen.
Even John Carpenter.
I don't know where you would see it.
Not the best movie he should have made.
Well, yeah, I said this.
He should have made that.
Do you know what? I said this in another review. Well, Chevy Chase really wanted him, and I said this in a review recently. That's the only film with his name that is not above the title.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a John Carpenter film.
It was one of those last attempts. It may have been the last attempt with him to work with the studio system. And I know a lot has been said about that.
What was that Mission to Mars movie? Or was that...
No, that's somebody else.
That's Ghost of Mars.
You think Ghost of Mars. But that wasn't studio system. That was him doing work the independent system. Yeah. Because, I remember after... I know this is totally tertiary to the film we're talking about right now.
But you get me... anything but
you get me started on John Carpenter, it's hard to shut me up because he's one of my heroes. I remember after The Thing, which was a major studio release, the studio kind of just buried it and shat all over it and acted embarrassed by it. And it came out the same weekend as, I want to say, Blade Runner, even. It was like
E.T.
And E.T. slaughtered both of these films.
Yeah.
And it was like, and the studio just didn't care.
Well, so
just shrugged about it. Retrospect now, we're like, oh, The Thing is a complete... Shut up, I agree, too.
No, it came out. Was it
the same weekend?
Those three movies came out the same week. Yeah.
It's a hell of a good week, except at the box office.
Yeah, but I remember looking back and going like, how did that happen? But honestly, I think The Thing is better remembered than E.T. now. So here we go.
Yeah. Really? You think so?
But I will say this new version of The Invisible Man will be better remembered than any of the previous versions of The Invisible Man story, with the possible exception, Sarah Jane, as I was pointing out earlier, of the original. I will say I personally, and I've gone through multiple versions of the Universal Everything set as they've released them. Like, oh, now I have a new one. Now I have the new better one. Now I have the new slightly better one. That's not one of my favorites of them, but it's okay.
I've never seen. It's one of the... I think it's the only Universal Monster one I've never seen.
I'm Bride of Frankenstein guy.
It's been years for me, but who starred in the original?
Claude Rains.
You can't even
see him.
That's
right. Yeah.
But before we go any further, let's do introductions because I was recently informed that people find it confusing when we don't do that. And they're absolutely right. That it is probably confusing. I'm Chris.
I'm Frank.
Sarah Jane.
I'm Alan.
I'm Tim. Oh, wait.
No. Stop.
I'm just trying to keep the confusion going. I am the inaudible man. You can't hear me. No, this is
Mark. And this is Kim.
Hey, Kim returns after a while since Harriet. Last time we saw you. So
yes,
good to have you back.
Yes.
That's not true. She was just invisible.
Oh.
She was here the whole time, Chris.
Bring it all back.
That's fair.
She was creeping on us the whole time.
That's it all makes so much sense now. This is Leigh Whannell, who is known originally for working on the Saw series.
Yeah, but we won't hold that against him.
Well, you know, and I honestly...
We'll never hold the first two against
him. I honestly was ready to before Upgrade came out. I remember saying, oh, great, the guy who was one of the main writers of the fucking Saw series, right. Which I think is absolutely horrible. Sorry, I cannot stand
the
Saw series.
The first two are fun.
I'm not a fan. The first one is the only one that's tolerable. The rest are garbage for me. I'm like, ugh. And agreed. I get it. It has its fans, including Chris Rock. That's for conversation for another podcast. But
I've been on that one.
Well, he's the one who produced and is starring in the new one that's coming out. Yeah, with Samuel
that's
Jackson.
That's right, yeah.
But Winnell, who... Like I said, as far as I'm concerned, had a questionable history. He's worked with James Wan. He's done films I liked. He wrote Insidious, which I think is great. Insidious Chapter 2, which is not as great, but still decent enough.
Still really
Insidious
great.
Chapter 3, which is not great, which was his first directorial film. And I was like, oh, God, that was not
is
good.
Is that the prequel one?
I can't remember. It's been three since
then.
Did
he write Cooties, so. By any chance?
I don't think so. Wait, no, he did. He was co-writer of Cooties. So.
I love Cooties. Yeah.
Which Cooties was good.
It was
with
fun.
Elijah Wood.
Yeah, it was a
but
lot of fun.
But it sounds like maybe Cooties, which came out in 2014, was that transfer point to him where he was like, I need to start making better films.
I need to make films that aren't called Cooties.
Yeah. Well, Upgrade in 2018 was kind of I don't want to call it a game changer because it wasn't, but it was definitely this film that dropped out of nowhere and everyone went, holy shit, have you seen Upgrade? It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, it was a reminder of the days of sort of, you know, classic blockbuster, you know, home video kind of releases where you're like, hey, I don't know what this is, but it could be fun. And then you watch it and you're like, wow, this is really good. Why didn't anybody else see it? That was like a little $10, $15 million movie. And, you know, it made all of its money back. And I'm like, why don't we get more of these small range films? And this film, The Invisible Man, proved, at least to me, that Wan-El is not a fluke. Mm. As a writer-director, he's really, really strong. And he makes the most of having a very modest budget.
I hope
they don't ever give him too much cash.
You say modest. This is a wide-release Hollywood film that was made for $7 million.
I love that. I love that That's, so
well, they
much.
Blew their budget on all the invisibility effects. I mean, all those times you don't see a guy, that's costing them thousands of dollars.
What was it? I can't even think of what the last wide-release film that was under 10. I'm baffled by it. I'm like, how did they do that?
It'll take a little while.
Another
but...
Blumhouse film, I'm sure, right?
Yeah,
well, Blumhouse is kind of like... took what Corman was doing with the whole, we can make films that are really, really entertaining with some giving young upstarts a chance to do what they do and make it for super fucking cheap. And occasionally they made a film that was genuinely pretty damn good.
Yeah, they're mostly like, I feel like, I remember reading their model. It was like under 15 or under 20 was like,
for Blumhouse.
Yeah, for Blumhouse. That's like kind of their model
Blumhouse
of production.
Took the idea, and he's even talked about how I feel like you can get more quality out of limiting someone with that budget, saying, no, you don't have a massive playground to play with. You have to do it under this and find a way to do it cleverly.
Yeah.
And with, indeed, often getting young upstarts to do like something that's
actually
more really interesting.
The exception to this rule was Tyler Perry.
Just so we know. but not really, though, if you consider the fact that he his movies are profitable.
They make a ton of
he makes movies.
I felt like
he makes movies
more
on
about
the
quality.
That's true about money.
Well, he makes movies in a weekend. I mean, geez,
I mean, and
like,
Blumhouse has become the master. Blumhouse Center, Jason Blum, has become the company that is going to make a profit off horror films that are low budget that come out wide.
They're probably making a profit off Fantasy Island right now, which by all reports is terrible.
Yeah, they didn't screen it for us.
Yeah, I didn't see it,
and I wanted to see it. I wanted to give that a chance.
I bet it's really bad, and I bet it's still making a
but
profit.
They do this weird thing.
I bet
back
it's really
and forth.
Fun.
They do back and forth from doing like really high profile horror and not horror. They did Whiplash, which was nominated for multiple Oscars.
Yeah.
You know,
that was my favorite film of that year.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Doing these great, really good projects. They're like, no, this is a prestige project. To doing this stuff that's garbage, but it's well produced garbage, and it's wide released, and they know how to market it, like Fantasy Island or Truth or Dare. You know,
oh God, Truth or Dare.
It was not good.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, the Sci-Fi Channel made a movie the same year called Truth or Dare that was 10 times better. That, just to say.
They can all be winners.
But I've realized eventually we should talk about the movie.
Yes.
It's been like almost 10 minutes and we barely talked about The Invisible Man. This, of course, is a modern adaptation of the novel of the same name by H.G. Wells. It's a reboot of the original Invisible Man, starring Claude Rains, of which there have been multiple attempts over the years to do that successfully. The Invisible Man is a hard one to crack. Where do you come at it? And Winnell found exactly the right way to crack it, which is, and this is obviously very modern right now, taking both two things. First off, toxic rich men. and their need to control everything and be abusive relationships, and taking that those two things and fusing together like modern feelings about it and finding a way to milk all of the fear that we have about those things and congealing it in the story of Elizabeth Moss, who is playing a character who is the girlfriend of said tech, I guess, millionaire. He didn't look like, maybe he's quite a billionaire, but who knows?
He has a house on a cliff.
That kind of
ocean.
A layer.
Yeah. Like a Tony Stark-esque house.
Yeah, Tony Stark-esque house,
he's
exactly.
He's like Tony Stark, you know, as a startup. You know, if like Tony Stark didn't inherit money, this would be like the first 10 years. He's just a few years away from being a billionaire, but he's getting there.
It's Oliver Jackson Cohen, who's one of those guys, you're like, I've seen him in stuff, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, and you don't see him much in this.
But I don't remember seeing you in that movie.
But the movie starts with her literally waking up in the middle of the night and silently getting out of bed. We see that she's drugged him and is escaping.
Yeah. And I mean, Invisible Man, pre-anything.
Yeah.
The horror and the tension in the first scene is really
good. That's a great sequence to start off with. Like, this is where we're starting off.
It kind of sets your tone for the movie, like, what kind of, like, tension and fear and, like, the, like, almost, like, paranoid level, how careful she's being. It kind of, like, shows that, like, no, like, all her paranoia and everything is earned. Like, we're seeing she's truly terrified of just trying to leave.
You don't need to see him hit her ever, because the fear that she exudes and just the level she's going to, like, you know that she's...
Moss is an actress who can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
She's incredible. I'm so excited that this might be her most widely seen movie, I think. Like, her smell was last year and was really great.
I guess Us was a supporting... Yeah, that was a supporting... Yeah.
But one of the best parts about that movie, to be fair, she's amazing.
She is amazing.
Obviously, like, Madman and Heyman sell, like, best TV. Like, this... I think this movie's gonna do really well. Spoiler alert, is really good. and the audience seemed to like it a lot.
Well, let me stay with the plot before the overall review.
Oh, yeah.
So, she is... like, escaping right from the beginning when Elle is using the techniques he uses throughout the entire film, camera-wise, which are very, right off the bat, you can't miss what he's doing with the camera, which is really interesting, which I feel like he's incorporated a lot of it from his experience with Blumhouse. Like, there's a lot of stuff in here I was like, you got that by watching the best sequences in the Paranormal Activity films. Learned from watching his films what was scary. And he uses it right from the beginning. I almost never say... ever, and I know this is a thing people say, but I almost never say, this movie is terrifying from the first frame to the last frame, and he wants to make that movie that sticks with you. She escapes, barely. Her sister comes and picks her up, with the abusive boyfriend coming out and punching through her window. So barely gets away.
That's a great moment.
It switches to 2 weeks later. She is staying with friends of her sister, I guess. It's never entirely clear what their relationship is.
I think
it was her friend.
Oh, I thought it was her ex and her daughter.
No.
It was never clear, but
I just assumed old friends of her sister, friends of hers. From the past.
Actor Aldous Hodge. He's a police officer. Which I love the way they introduce it. Like, literally, they're just fucking around playing and beating each other with pillows, and it comes out in a very organic way instead of an expositionary way. And
there's so much I love in that first sequence of just her kind of, like, trying to recover from this trauma, staying with him, like, the daughter. It's all played so... like, all the information is conveyed so clearly, but it's played subtly. Sometimes movies are like, someone would come out with exposition about, like, the situation I am in now.
Let me explain to you.
He's kind of just working on the house. This is a small thing, but I love how there's two adults listening to rap music in the house, and it's not, like, dumb. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Rap music's always used so dumb.
And it's clear
it feels real.
It feels real, like a normal
It's clear
situation.
Right from the start, this is never going to be a romantic situation, despite the fact he's single and has a teenage daughter, and everybody's very close. It never feels like this is the thing that's going to evolve into a romantic situation. And he is.
Like,
there's
gorgeous.
A scene where he's leaning
his
over
arms, like,
with his arms, and he's just got muscles coming out of nowhere.
I know.
Like, what is that? I was looking, like, what muscle was that? I don't think that's a real muscle.
You could count them during that scene. I was like,
when he went to get the beer, and he was just in this tie and his shirt and everything.
He's a good looking guy. with Storm Reid playing his daughter who herself
I
was in.
Where have we seen her?
Wrinkle in Time.
Yes, that's it. That's it.
She's really good.
I do want to kind of disagree about the initial scene being organic. I would have liked a little bit of exposition. Mm. I wanted to know more about their relationship because I was thrown off. Like, who are these people?
It takes a little while to understand.
They never explain it, though. They're just like, we're friends.
Well, they do in a way that's it. I felt like that's as much as you need to know. I would have liked to have known, like, some
even,
degree.
Like,
when
are they new friends? Have they been friends for years? Because they go through a huge ordeal in this movie together.
I mean, it's insinuated eventually that her sister has a prior sort of some not romantic relationship but a relationship with him. There's a scene where she's literally he's scared of you because you can be very intimidating two know each other.
I just thought like they were all friends at some point.
This has to be all,
it seems very obvious.
They have to be old friends because I don't think anything about what she had with the invisible man, whatever his name is, I don't think he would allow a friendship or anything.
Adrian.
Adrian.
These were the people from her past.
Yeah. He wouldn't allow anything present to flourish.
Yeah,
so.
That he had cut off.
Yeah.
He had cut her off from everybody. And so I was okay with that because I don't want to quibble too much about those things because we haven't gotten to what's really fucking good about
well, okay, so she is still really terrified as anybody who's been in an incredibly controlling, super abusive relationship, which we get in dribs and drabs at first because she's too terrified to even talk about it. Her sister comes to her and goes, you don't have to worry anymore. He died. Literally, he committed suicide in the house. And she immediately feels, like at first you're like, okay, I'm still scared to go out and do this stuff. I'm still affected by all this, but this huge weight lifted.
There's
obviously
some shock in there as well.
Yeah. Which they deal with very realistically, I thought.
Yeah.
And then shit starts to happen. Stuff starts to go kind of Paranormal Activity in her house.
Yeah,
which
she starts to be haunted, essentially.
Yeah, it's a ghost movie for
finally,
a while.
Finally, a good Paranormal Activity movie.
Hey, yep, I disagree. There have been some good ones.
Well, that's fine. Go ahead. I mean,
I don't like them either.
Thank you.
Oh, God damn it.
I sat on the right couch.
But no, this is one thing that Wannell does so really well.
Wait, we're still in the plot. Hold on.
Oh, okay. God damn it.
Sorry. Sorry, Marco. I know.
It's simple. The guy's invisible. He haunts his ex-girlfriend. Shit in ensues. It's terrifying. It's great. You should go watch it now.
That's accurate.
And your rating? No, I'm just kidding.
Now I'm moving into my final thoughts. So it becomes clear to the audience rather quickly that, okay, clearly something invisible is haunting her, and it's is it his ghost? No, of course it's not, because the movie's called The Invisible Man.
It's not called The Normal Ghost.
We're kind of burying the lead here.
But the question is, like, if it is him, how could it possibly be him? I mean, no one believes her. There's photos shown to her of, like, here's his dead body. There's a thing full of his ashes. His brother, who basically is the guy who runs is now in charge of running his corporation because he's very rich, who had brought her in to say, like, well, he did leave you $5 million, regardless of anything else. And the whole thing is just a setup, as you might expect, because, of course, well, maybe he's dead, maybe he's not. But somebody is invisible and haunting her and doing it in a way to make her suffer in exactly the same way as that a toxic, abusive guy in a relationship.
I wonder if it has anything to do with that lab he has in his house that we saw in the first 5 minutes.
No,
of the
course
movie.
Not. Dun, of course
dun,
not.
Dun.
I mean, genius inventor dies mysteriously. I wonder what he was working on. Which is one thing I do appreciate about this movie, because that's always been a big feature of all of the iterations of Invisible Man. Like, how did he become invisible? Originally, it was something to do with optics, and he had found a chemical that may change the refractive ability of his natural skin, whatever.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't care about that. It's just like, there are ways that a person could become invisible. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, they kind of just say, like, he's like the leading inventor of something to do with, like, optics, camera.
So,
like,
ultimately,
stuff.
What
he's
it comes down to is, he is a super genius inventor. He's a toxic piece of shit. Is about as much a toxic level as a toxic piece of shit can be a toxic piece of shit. We're talking Weinstein levels. And if he isn't really dead, it's entirely plausible that he could have found a way to make himself invisible. The whys and wherefores are explained in a sort of like thank God no one tech babbles about it, but like are eventually explained how this works and do in fact play into the plot and the not the plot so much as
the mechanics of it. Yeah.
Which I in a good way.
Yeah.
But like it is they made a movie Leigh Whannell made a film that is all about scaring you. And I can't remember the last time I saw a horror movie that at the end, I came out and said, "Man, you know the best thing about this movie is it actually fucking frightened me." But don't you love the way through that, it?
In terms of the theme of you know someone that's in an abusive relationship, the fear of being in an abusive relationship, and the fear that she feels, you know, just like not knowing where he is at anyone given. You know, I love the way that they intersect and they, you know. They work in, you know...
Shut up, Ranker. Like, you know what will happen.
Well, it's...
No, he's the ultimate stalker. I mean, he is the worst boyfriend in the world, yet he has the abilities to do... Basically, to be the worst boyfriend times a thousand.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, and...
He's a realistically horrible person who just has some amazing abilities.
And, well, and the central metaphor is, like... It's the obvious one. It's, like, a trauma can affect you just as horribly... after the fact
mm-hmm.
as when you're in it and it's like even like if they're invisible and no one can see it and like you're still it's like you're
in your still head in, it's still real
you're still yeah, in the yeah. trauma mm-hmm. and that's like what the central metaphor is working with and I wanted to say like the movie like does a great job of we said it's plausible they can be invisible it's very plausible to the audience and plausible to her but not to anyone else.
Right. I mean, this is a thing
he's
that's
gaslighting
like,
her.
I mean, yeah. there's a scene where she's, like, convinced. She's become convinced this is what's happening. She doesn't know how convinced. And trying to explain to people who trust and love her that this invisible, her invisible dead ex-boyfriend is haunting her, but he's not a ghost. And you, it's an incredibly well-played scene that does exactly that right balance of, like, even making the audience laugh, but laugh in an uncomfortable way because she seems crazy.
Yeah.
And she knows she sounds crazy, but she also knows for sure this is what's happening to her. And it the movie does this great job of taking all these aspects of what people do in toxic relationships, like make gaslighting you and making you think you're the one that's crazy, separating you from the people you love and making them think like, oh, maybe you're the bad person in this relationship. Doing all those things in a way that's not exploitationist of those ideas, but is genuinely wanting to explore and talk about those ideas. And I think that's what makes this film, separates this film from the lesser movie it all too easily could have become.
Oh,
yeah. For sure. I think it's more genuine than exploitative. You know, all the way through. It plays it for really, you know, the trauma part of it is played really honestly.
And honestly, kind of subtly.
Were you all okay not seeing any of his abuse? You were okay just seeing the trauma through her reaction to it?
Absolutely.
When you have an actress like Elizabeth Moss.
I thought she did a phenomenal job. She obviously conveyed a lot of pain and trauma through her emotions. There was one scene later in the movie where... I forget exactly what was happening, but her face was twitching in a way where I was like, God damn, someone give this girl like a Xanax. She's about to like twitch her eye.
I think right from like even up until the moment he smashed the car window. I could say he smashed the car window. That was in the first like 5 minutes.
Sure.
Or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I think I was sold the length that she went through her you know, every time she thought she'd fucked up in her little like getaway plan. Yeah, that sold me on the fact that if she's going to go to this much length, this many lengths, she's running away from a monster.
Yeah, I mean, you really know, horrible. Anytime you're making an Invisible Man movie, what really matters is what you don't see. That goes narratively and visually. That's what 1L does. He's like, I don't need to show you that.
No, that opening. True.
We only have $7 million.
And the thing is, what's the point of seeing Elizabeth Moss get slapped around? She is going to be traumatized for the next 2 hours. We don't need to see how it started. We already know. We can believe it. We know that this guy's bad.
And we do see her go through all the shit he was doing to her in the relationship, just doing it in the way of being the invisible
it's also
guy.
About the, it's also, this is also a movie about the aftermath of that sort of abuse as well. It's not a movie about how it started and, you know.
And the thing is, no one in her friends or family knew about it. And now that she's out, and now that she thinks he's dead, but he's back, now suddenly those people are now trapped in this too. Because that's the thing that I thought was, we're kind of put in the same perspective as her friends and family. None of them knew this was happening. Well, you know, we're just thrown in there. Like, he did what? They're like, why did you call me to pick you up at 3 in the morning?
Her sister. Yeah, I was like, what's going on?
I'll tell you later.
They didn't tell us anything because he asked her, what was he doing to you? And he said, did he hit you? And she said, yeah, and other things. Yeah.
She said a lot worse things.
That's all you need.
But that's all you need. Yeah, we don't. But, you know.
Almost, the film as it is so intense with the amount of, like, trauma that is clearly on screen. I can't imagine a version of this film that tried to show you those actual
It would have taken out the entertainment material
where it's like this, maybe in the 70s when shit was all fucked up.
It would have taken out the entertainment factor for this film. It made it too dark.
That's the thing. The movie is still, with all this said, like, because they don't show you that terribleness, it is still an entertaining movie.
I like that it takes aspects of, and Winnell clearly is like a huge fan himself of horror films and is taking a lot from a lot of other things and making it something new. Here he's really merging a lot of the techniques that come with the haunted house movie and merging them with a lot of things that come with the slasher killer film and doing it, and the stalker film for that matter, like single white female or what have you. He's merging all these things, three things together into something that genuinely feels new. Like, and is scary. The film makes you feel as helpless as in a way that's supposed to mirror the way people feel in these relationships. Yeah. It makes you feel completely helpless for this woman, for Elizabeth Moss. How can she possibly get out of this scenario? She's like, everyone, she's put in a position eventually where everyone thinks she's crazy and dangerous and obviously needs help, but I don't know if I want to be the one to help her type of thing, you know?
He turns her allies against her.
Yeah.
You know, in ways that, you know, it's like, I didn't slap your daughter. Well, who did? The invisible guy? Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's probably the crazy person who just got out of a relationship.
He does it.
Who's now on light
narcotics. Big and small ways.
Now, I would like to point out that, like, while I think that this film, I would use the term masterfully conveys dread throughout its running time, does eventually get to a point where she's like, oh, hell no, and has just figured out exactly how to deal with the situation. And it's very satisfying, even coming to, it has kind of a false ending and then goes to a real ending that makes you go, oh, thank God. Is kind of perfect.
Both are satisfying in the sense of, like, I feel like they level up. Yeah. Like, the first one is satisfying, but it's like, is that it? And then there's, like, another level up on the satisfaction you get.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's done really well.
Winnell is not, and I think to speak to why you're not seeing her get slapped around and all that stuff before the story kicks in, I don't think he's interested in doing that. Not only does he not want to show you that, like we were saying, it does have entertainment value. He's like, I'm going to put you through a ringer for 2 fucking hours. But I'm not here to bum you out.
Over 2 hours.
Yeah. Over 2 hours. I'm going to make this satisfying. There's going to be a payoff.
Was it really that long? Sorry.
Yeah. It was two hours and 4 minutes.
And it does feel long at times.
But never boring.
But part of it is, there were times where I was like, oh my God, I want this to be over. But not in the sense that I hate this. It's like, oh my God, this is like,
this is excruciating.
When are we
going
to get to the part where this is no longer horrible?
Yeah.
And he just thought
the situation.
Yeah. It's like, you thought that was bad. Watch this. Now it gets worse. And yeah, that's hard to do. And ordinarily when you're dealing with horror or comedy for that matter, anytime it's based on an emotional response, I think it's better to err on the side of caution and maybe keep it shorter, because it's hard to sustain that mood for that long. Yet he manages to do it. Excuse me. He manages to do it.
All right. Keep going to your final thoughts.
Man, we talked about John Carpenter and so many other things. We didn't really get to talk about all the other stuff I wanted to. So I just want to say something
about
that's really, really, really well done.
Here's your chance. Open mic.
I'm going to try.
Hey,
to
Marco,
do this
how are you guys doing? Where are you from?
Did I tell you that time? I'm sorry. I got distracted. No.
Airlines. They suck, right?
The food, it's terrible. And in such small portions.
Calm down, Jerry Seinfeld.
I love the way he shoots this, which is why I was joking earlier. I hope they never give him any more money. Part of the reason Upgrade was as good as it was is that is a guy taking a small budget and going, I'm not going to make a blockbuster. I can't. But I will use all of my money smartly. I'll put it in the right places and stretch it as far as I can go. He actually managed to outdo himself here. Like I was joking about, you know, what you don't see. And this guy wrings tension out of just empty frames until you realize that you're looking at, you're creeped out by an open doorway.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or something, just a breath of air that shouldn't be there. And that is really smart. So many of these things are done in camera very cheaply, very effectively. And consider the fact that Hollow Man got, in, as bad as it was, it got an Oscar nomination.
Did it really?
Yeah. Well, a nomination for visual effects.
Visual effects, yeah.
Even the original Claude Rains, that is a classic special effect. When you see him taking the bandage off, something about making the invisible visible is a tempting challenge to visual effects artists. Wan-El actually goes, you know, I can just have this off screen, or I could have an empty frame, and he frames the shot as if someone were there.
Mm-hmm.
That makes the composition look empty and off kilter. It's a solid composition, but you can't see. Instead, you feel the presence in the frame as opposed to seeing it. And that's just such a smart way to make a horror film on a low budget. And I hope more people take notice, because this is the way to do it. And I want to see more of these small, medium range, low budget films that are really good and get wide releases. Because not everybody has Marvel money. Anyway, or needs it for that matter. So, yeah, you could have given him an extra $20 million. So what? I could see more CGI effects.
We didn't need to see it.
We didn't need it.
He would have gotten Scarlett Johansson with $20 million.
Yeah, you know.
Which, I love Scarlett Johansson, but Moss was the right choice for this role.
We love both of them.
I literally cannot imagine anyone else but Elizabeth Moss playing this role.
I could sort of... Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, there's a moment where she's in a fight with the Invisible Man, and you realize that is Elizabeth Moss on the floor just flinging her hands around and grasping air, and yet I believe that she's fighting a guy.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we actually shot the guy, and it cost us $20 million to digitally take him out. It's a green screen.
Which is the way, like, if the film had cost, like,
$40 million,
that's how they would have done it.
It would have been Andy Serkis playing the Invisible Man on a mocap stage. And, no, this is smart filmmaking, and I want more, please. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10. Inconveniently placed dog bowls.
Sarah Jane?
I didn't love this as much as everyone else seems to have loved it. I didn't feel...
Heretic!
I'm actually on the same page.
Wow. I didn't feel any of the dread. I mean, I wasn't sucked in by it. The shots where you were looking and, you know, where he had it, where was somebody there, was somebody not there, that was unnerving at first, but then it was just like... I don't know. Sorry, you couldn't see my face, but it
she
was just
gesticulated
like,
in a way to go whatever
with jazz hands as well.
Elizabeth Moss is phenomenal. I really love her, and so, like we just said, I can't imagine anybody else in it. There were some things, and it didn't bother anybody else, but it bothered me because I thought that her sister had been married to the fellow. And that was her niece. I thought it was her niece.
The guy who she was staying with.
Yes. Yeah. And so I didn't know what that relationship was. There were a couple other things
that bothered Kim too. She was saying.
Yeah. I mean, throughout the whole thing, I kept thinking, why does she live way in the city?
You didn't forget about that?
No.
Oh.
Sorry, it was bothering me. Anyway, it bothered me.
That's okay.
I need a family tree for every character before the movie starts.
Don't be that guy.
No, I'm not that guy.
It didn't need to be that, but there could have been some explanation, like a sentence about, so I was clear as to what the relationship was.
That's Elizabeth Moss turns to the screen and goes, Sarah, he's just my good friend.
I don't mean to interrupt, but to kind of back up your point here, it bothered me only because he had a daughter who I felt like should have taken precedent. Why would you bring in a woman who's in an abusive relationship who potentially could have a man come to his house and harm his daughter? I need justification for the danger that he's putting his child in. I need some type of...
I feel like if anything, it was just because he's a cop and was like, ain't nobody going to fuck
him. I would have been totally happy if they're like, the sister has a cop friend and it's okay if you stay with him. I don't know, just something, a sentence
also
to
me
justify.
Why didn't he have her arrested immediately after punching his daughter? That was weird to me also.
Well, because it seemed clear their friendship was...
I'm going to get my daughter out of here.
Like, he was startled by...
But even after that, why didn't she get...
To me, it was like he was so startled by what happened, his only reaction was to... And he even said it on screen, you have to understand, I need to protect my daughter first and foremost. And she's hurt, but also gets it. and is like,
he said, you okay, need to be gone by the time I get back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I get it. He's doing, like, he's not going to have her arrested there. They have a very serious prior relationship.
Do and they? I don't know that. It was
well,
never discussed.
He would never have let her live in her house if they didn't.
Yes,
so
they
I assume.
Have said something.
Well, there's a,
sorry.
There's a history.
I thought it was insane.
But there's platonic or not, there is a history.
I feel like there were some points where you guys are filling in story for them.
Yeah, but that's okay if the film does the job of, like, we always talk about, I didn't need this explained to me. It's clear from watching the movie.
Yeah.
And this
the
is
implication
one of
is they have a close.
The implication
falls
into
this category.
There was another moment that happened that we won't discuss here because it'll be a spoiler, that you and I thought one thing and everybody else thought the other. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was clear.
I'm curious about what that
was. Well, I guess you weren't out there. We can talk about it after recording. Okay, yeah. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff that I had questions.
But I will say that particular thing you're talking about, I think either way you interpret it is fine.
Yes, but it's much worse.
It's much worse the way we interpret
yes.
it. Yeah, like much darker.
I think we all interpreted it correctly.
Yeah,
I think they soft sold it because it was so horrific.
It was so horrific.
They downplayed it, but yeah, I think
that somebody chose to say, let's make this a little more vague because it's so disturbing.
Yeah,
that we
and Elizabeth Moss's face tells you everything, or at least you know. Makes you feel like you know what the answer is.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm
sorry.
Sorry to interrupt you.
So anyway, so I did enjoy it. I think part of it also might have been the screening because there was a baby in there, and then there was a lot of talkers.
Who brings
so I could never.
Oh
there was
my God.
One part
Sound
in the movie
was bad.
For
yes.
like 30 seconds because this movie's quiet a lot.
Yeah.
Where there was absolutely no sound in the theater, and I thought. Yes, there's peace.
I'm trying to nap over here,
and
people.
And then that went away. No, I wanted
I know,
to
I'm
be
kidding.
In it, but I couldn't. So, I mean, that's not the fault of
it's
the
movie. There's a rough audience in a rough theater.
It was a rough audience in a rough theater. That
yes.
is true.
Yeah. Okay, so besides all that, again, Elizabeth Moss was phenomenal. This movie is going to make a ton of money. I'm going to give it 7.5, because I did like it. Dog's name Zeus out of 10.
Oh, you know, at $7 million.
See, I never heard the dog's name.
At $7 million?
No,
the bowl.
On the bowl.
I couldn't read it. It was
she,
too dark.
I think she said his name a couple times.
At $7 million, this movie's going to make its money back the first day of
work.
Yes.
You know?
If everybody brings a friend, they'll make their money back.
Yeah.
Frank?
Really? Not even Marriage Story? You didn't like Scarlett Johansson?
You know, that's the only movie that I thought that she was actually okay in.
Not Ghost World?
What are we doing here?
Oh, sorry.
Jojo Rabbit.
We're
she was good in that. Okay,
yeah.
We're putting Sarah Jane's feet to the fire on Scarlett Johansson.
I just enjoyed it because this is the most I've ever heard Sarah Jane talk, and I want more of it.
Sometimes, there's no. I don't have a chance to talk.
You have to talk over us.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we're dicks.
No,
when you cut someone off, it's out of passion, not, you know,
and
motivation.
I'm excited for Black Widow. How about that?
I'm not that excited, but okay. That's good.
Black Widow is the really, really horrible sequel to Marriage Story.
Okay.
I would say, just watch Bo and Mindy and just do what they do and go like, hey, if they can do it, I can do it.
I mean, if you get them on that review, it's a couple bathroom breaks.
Yeah, I would say, not what they say per chance, but like, you know, that whole like, hey, we do want to hear you talk, Sarah Jane.
Oh, thank you.
Frank?
Oh, me, yeah. Okay.
What you got?
This was really... it's classified as a horror film. It's Blumhouse. I feel this is more a suspenser thriller than it is a straight-up horror because this had me on edge from beginning to end. And I do like the whole... I agree. Who said it tonight? From the first frame to the end, was it you, Chris?
Yeah,
There's no really real rest.
Yeah,
from this film,
from the very first frame of this film to the very last frame, you are made distinctly uncomfortable.
There's something that's either happening, or there's more often than not the threat of something happening. And I mean, Margo, like you said, all one else needs to do is just like point the camera in a direction. Yeah. Just shoot a corner of a room, and you're put off.
There be a monster in there.
Exactly.
Maybe
that's the genius
negative
of it.
Space.
And I love the way it mixes the idea of trauma and the lasting effects of trauma, with the sort of imaginary monster that you can't see, which is what trauma, this kind of trauma is in a lot of ways. I thought it did a really good job of that. And I love Elizabeth Moss in this. I really loved her in this. I think, oh God, what are the other films I've seen of? Wait Until Dark and What Lies Beneath. And now this, in terms of just actresses who have to act to nothing. But
as a loved one was another one, right? Not the loved one. It was like, there was another one where it was a weird sort of horror, but with like a time travel Ghost. Aspect to it. Josh. I don't think she was alive when Ghost came out.
She was. Don't date us that much, Chris. Come on. No, but I think,
sorry, old man. Go ahead.
Ha, ha, ha. But I think this joins those in terms of like, you know, actresses who have to act to really nothing in front of them, but their characters have to act like they're fearing for their lives. She pulls it off, and she's amazing. She is really breathtaking in this film, and she really grounds it in that sort of reality of someone who is still can't escape her tormentor. And this was amazing on a suspense level, on a theme level. It was great. I love this. I can't wait to see what Monel does next. And I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 Aldous Hodge's arms because, man.
They were impressive.
That guy's got some arms, I mean, dude. Like I go 4 times a week at Orange Theory. I will never be Aldous Hodge.
Muscles on muscles.
I am a heterosexual man, and I'm also aware.
Prove it.
When I can. I will suck your dick right now.
Wow.
I want everyone to see how much I hate it.
Yeah, he didn't like that at all.
But is that because it's a man or it's just because it's Alan?
That's a toss-up. It's a toss-up.
That's still okay, I'm going to go around the room.
This review's getting nasty. Yeah.
This is going to get so many hits.
Rated our review?
Kim.
All right, so I haven't said much leading up to now because I really wanted you all to convince me that this was a good movie. A little behind, I know, Markham, I'm so sorry I disappoint you. A little behind the scenes for people listening. After movies, we usually group outside of the movie theater and we give like a quick kind of first impressions.
Sure.
When I came outside of the movie theater, I was so prepared to trash this movie.
Wow.
And then for everyone to be loving it, I was like, oh,
isn't that a surreal
feeling? Really?
Like, no, I've been there before. Isn't that a surreal feeling?
I am too.
It's like, oh, like, oh, God.
Like,
I don't want to say
anything.
Was
I in the right theater? I thought I was sitting next to.
You were just like.
I was.
I made eye contact with you, and we were both like, what? Are you talking about this movie that we saw tonight? But I think Chris used a really good word when he was talking earlier, the word vague, because I think that was my biggest issue with this movie. So much was vaguely implied, and it seems like you guys all kind of jumped to the same conclusions. Me and Sarah Jane, I think, were more like, I don't want to jump to conclusions. I came to a movie to hear a story. Tell me what is happening in this story. I'm all about, tight writing and tight scripts. This was anorexic, the way it gave me almost nothing to go off of, and I had to fill in the blanks. When I said that I wanted to see the abuse in the beginning, it wasn't necessarily because I wanted to see Elizabeth Moss be slapped around. I wanted to care about her. I wanted to know something about her character. They kind of just started her off being a woman sneaking out of a house. Seen that before, so I was kind of like, okay, I hope she doesn't make noise.
Was it mainly her? You wanted to know who she was?
I wanted, character.
Apart from this, the trauma.
I wanted to see kind of how she started, and then how the trauma affected her, so I know who she is now. I just needed more, but she started out being a traumatized woman, and then she spends the whole movie being the same woman. I mean, true towards the end, she does develop in you know, new ways. But I never had that initial connection with her. I could tell throughout the movie she was acting her ass off, which, you know, applause to her.
Elizabeth Moss, what are you going to
do? Yeah, but at the same time, I was like, okay, a woman crying, woman's face twitching. You know, I have no real connection to this character. I don't know her boyfriend who's, feels like he needs to follow her around and create some new way to be invisible just to further, you know, devastate her. I didn't know them. And then all the secondary characters, the man she's staying with, her sister, the child in the movie, they're really, I got nothing from them either. Nothing to where I cared about any of them. You know, they all could have exploded and I would have been like, all right, well, thank God this movie's done. I thought it would be another 3 hours.
That would have been a really interesting way to go.
Twist.
Yeah. Like they all just explode.
Spontaneously combusted.
I would have given the movie like props for doing something I did not see coming.
I'm the invisible man. I have the power of invisibility. Oh, and I can blow up people too. It's a new thing I do.
But
that
would have happened, you all would have been like, it was obviously implied that his invisibility led to explode. Like, I just feel like y'all are filling in so many blanks that I don't want to speak for Sarah Jane, because I don't know where, I don't really know, you know, how you're thinking as of yet.
Tonight,
but I feel like I was like, thank God someone else was somewhat on my page.
But did you,
because if I was the sole woman who left this theater thinking it was a bad movie, I would have second-guessed myself. But since there are six of us in this room and two
and
of us
two
are, not
women
it,
are not liking it as much, it's making me second guess it. Because I'm it's a movie about abuse of women, and the two women were not crazy about it.
How do you feel about it as a movie about
the... I think it's terrifying because that's how dudes... I figure that's how women normally feel.
Maybe
that's not something that you all are subjected to often.
Kim, maybe you and Sarah are just crazy.
That could be.
That's
maybe
what I
we had invisible boyfriends in the past.
Going with the movie.
Oh,
maybe.
As a movie about the effects of trauma, how do you feel about it?
I appreciated that, but I've also felt like in my mind...
I have no sympathy for a woman being beaten unless I've seen her beaten.
Marco, come on. I already said I didn't care about the beating part. I cared about knowing their relationship, and I cared about knowing more about this character.
I just didn't want them to get hurt. That was all.
You know what? I take it back. I didn't have to see them being beat. I would have liked just more of the psychological gaslighting. Just
like,
something so I knew.
What was that, Julia Roberts?
Because the man started off being
sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah,
it's just told to us that he was abusive. I just would have liked to have a taste of that character.
Even if it was like just that day of what he was putting her through, maybe.
Just a little bit, because otherwise he's just this, for all I know, she's an unreliable narrator. And she's acting like, you know, she was traumatized. I don't know. This is
exposition.
Me filling in blanks.
It was her plan all along.
Yeah.
And the ending was just...
I mean, that's an interesting point of the idea that what if she's an unreliable narrator, but I will say, like, if this movie had come out 20 years ago, I would have been more like, yeah, what if she's an unreliable narrator? Right now, I'm like, there's no way in hell anyone would believe this movie.
No, in this day
and
age,
it's
funny
that you say
this,
if this movie had come out 20 years ago, because the whole time I'm watching this movie, it reminded me so much of movies I saw 20 years ago, with Jessica Alba and Halle Berry, all these just like random movies that came out where...
Oh, that Jennifer Lopez movie, remember that one?
Jennifer Lopez,
Enough?
Like any of these people, it felt like a movie that could have been made 20 years ago. Same effects, same everything, nothing felt special to me, nothing felt fresh.
So do you mean like you wish for more exposition?
Not exposition, I could have seen these things, I just felt I wanted more characters, development. That was what was lacking for me. And then I also didn't feel any suspense. I'm a scary, scary person.
I know. You
Chris
scare
is sat next
the
to me
out of me.
In horror movies. I watch most of freaking Annabelle Goes
She's
scared, between my fingers.
She scared me at really crappy horror films that are not scary by like grabbing my leg all of a sudden because she's fucking scared from something. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I had to jump out of my skin.
Like, oh God, stop that.
I could have watched this movie like laying in bed in the dark and I would have been totally fine. Nothing about this movie was scary or suspenseful. The camera wandering off into door frames to me was like, after the third time, like, okay, cool. I mean, is he here? Is he going to do something? I don't know. I was bored. Wow. I was bored. There's no way around it. I didn't connect with the characters. I thought the storyline was slow and boring. I'm not sure what you're talking about with camera work. Sorry, I'm letting it all out, guys.
No?
I'm not sure what you're talking about with camera work.
Okay.
I think we found our new Johnny Neal.
I don't know
why you all love this thing.
I mean,
give
me a fancy camera. I'll slowly turn to a door frame. Would that make you happy? Is that Oscar worthy?
Scared.
Are you, woo, like, I'm so scared
well,
now.
Well, Oscar worthy. Let's
not take
care of
it. You all are making it sound amazing, but I didn't feel like there was anything with camera work that couldn't just be done by on the slow-mo on my iPhone, that I couldn't just slowly pan to a door for like, oh my God, there's a, look at this chair, it's empty, let me like slowly pan
don't
over
do
here.
That's scary.
Oh my God. Guys, they're pissing right. their pants, they're
by
freaking
itself.
Out right now.
It's moving by itself. Oh wait, the cat
it
just
really
jumped
out.
Don't
ruin the
I'm
magic
really
for
happy
me.
That Chris has not done his final thoughts, because I want you to tell me what this camera work was that was blowing your mind. Because
okay.
I was totally
you
about
feel
the,
it or you don't.
If I had not drank a 5-hour energy before this movie, I would have fallen asleep. I promise you this.
Every minute of it's 2 hours and 4 minutes.
I was, oh my God. And you wow. mentioned how it had a false ending, and I was happy. I was like, yes, we're out of here. And it was like, no! This is not the ending!
And sorry. Then the hobbits jumped on the bed.
Damn it, this was not the ending. All right.
But you liked her, though.
She's a great actress. I mean, you know, you put
she could do a McDonald's commercial.
Yeah. You know, you put a good actress in a Barney movie, and they're going to be great. You
Meryl
can't
Streep,
really
Iron
that.
Lady proves it.
No,
but I don't know. Overall, I'm just confused, and I was so sad coming out, and y'all were talking praising the movie because I was like, "Yes, a movie to trash. This is going to be so much fun." But you know what? I'll trash it all by myself. I don't need you guys.
nice. High five.
What's your rating?
I've been where you are, and it feels
good. Yeah, I know.
I will say, just because a lot of people I respect, you know, Chris, Frank.
Be honest. No, be honest.
Because you guys like this movie,
no,
if it comes on again and I'm like super duper, like have nothing in the world better than you, I will watch it again.
If I'm in a coma.
Like if I'm paralyzed from the neck down and someone puts this on the TV in front of me, I will watch it, and I will see how I feel about it the second time.
Fair.
Because I did go into it with my own expectations of what I was going to see, and it was not what I saw, mainly because it was so slow and boring. but I'm going to give it, for Elizabeth Moss, I'm going to give it a 3 out of 10.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
3 out of 10 empty chairs that are so scary.
Fair enough.
For empty chairs, that's very apropos.
For the record, I really do love when we get wildly different opinions on this. So,
I set out the accountant review because I did not want to do what you did right now.
It's stressful, but we support it. We're like,
I don't
want
to be that guy.
Marco's seething next to me. He's very upset.
I respect your opinion, and I love you even though you're wrong. I would say that to anyone.
Speaking of that, let's get back to another correct opinion by Alan.
I hate to immediately come after that, and I think this movie is like just shy of like a low budget horror masterpiece, shy of one. Like I think the third, like to be the critical thing I have to say about it is in the third act. I wouldn't call it sloppy, but it's not as tight as other parts of the movie. There's stuff where things kind of, like, become a little bit unhinged and rushed apart and slows down. The pacing, which is so masterful to me throughout the movie, in the third act, kind of goes off the rails a bit. Never to the point where I think it's sloppy, per se. It's just not as tight as the rest of the film. And to your point about the character, like, not getting to know this character, I think this movie, honestly, is no real interest. It's not a movie about a character, really. It's a movie about trauma. Like, it's a theme.
I agree.
And it's not. So we're meeting this character at the point of her exiting her trauma and seeing how that plays out. And it's not a character piece. And like she's. And her acting, which some might say is like kind of like broad or big or overacting, it's not really that. I think she's just conveying trauma. She's not conveying necessarily a person, she's conveying a raw emotion of like what this movie is about.
She's not expressing, it's not a character piece, even though she is certainly, if there was one,
yeah,
you'd say
she's
about her, but it is all about the expression of the PTSD that comes.
For sure. She's still grounded. I don't think she's like a cartoon character version of this or anything like that. She's still grounded in reality, but there's no big transition from her like a happy relationship to, oh my God, this isn't it. Oh, I got to get out of here. I'm going to overcome this. It's like even in the end of the movie where she is somewhat like, you know, spoiler, it's a horror movie. She like gets the balls to fight back the guy, whatever, you know, the cliche of a horror movie that happens. It's still rooted in the trauma and trying to take back like the power that have taken away from you. Like, and I think that's what the movie is selling from beginning to end. And with the camera work stuff, like, it all worked for me, the framing, because it's weird. At first, I was like, man, he's really going to do this. He's in a frame. Like, there's a character in this frame. Like, because it's framed. It's not, like, centered. It's not a... It's like he's falling around a person, but there's nothing there. And slowly, like, I come to, like, every time they're showing you something, it's not like, is he there, is he isn't. It is, he is there every time. He is in the frame. It's not trying to trick you, like, is he really there, is he not? It's always, like, when the camera's just showing you the corner of the room, it's because he is in the corner of the room.
It's more, what's he going to do?
And she can, she knows, and no one else does.
And but, like, but also, even with her going, but is he? And there's a certain amount of her going, like, he may, I'm talking to him here, he may be standing behind me.
Oh, yes. Me, but, like, know? He is present. Like the trauma is present in her life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, his fingers are in. Even him giving her, when, like, he dies and she gets left the money, or whatever, like, that we find that out, that is another form of control. Like, it is, like, nothing is, she's never, like, out from under his thumb. Post-death. And she knows this, and no one else will believe her, which is, like, it's the classic, like, PTSD, the trauma of escaping, like, there's no escape of it. So, yeah, I thought it's, like, other than, like, my slight criticism of the third act, I thought it was pretty perfect. It's a little shaky in the third act. So I give it 9 floating knives out of 10.
Yeah, we're kind of almost...
Man, that knife. Jeez, fuck.
Yeah, hell, we're almost exactly on the same page, because I do think the third act has a little bit of issues, and honestly, it came from the effects. Where it was like, they're a little wonky. They're not going overboard with them, but they're a little, like, where everything else has been so grounded that, like, when they do it, it's a little wonky.
Look who's scared of the Invisible Man now. A cat just poked Kim in the back of the head, and she gave a big jump.
I take it back. 10 out of 10.
I warned you because I saw.
She's not scared of invisible toxic man. She's scared of cats.
She's scared of visible, plainly seen cats.
If this were a movie about an invisible cat, oh my god, guys!
Oh, I'm on board. Should Let's we make produce that, movie, that right now? We should do that.
We'll get started right now.
Yeah, we'll call. I'll call.
Call later. Jason Blum.
I've got the slow-mo panning already.
Yeah, I mean, you asked me. I'm curious to know why you like the camera work so much, and I'll say, like, for me, ghost films are one of my favorite type of horror films. And they're so hard to pull off anymore successfully. So many people have made so many missteps, and there's so many different ways to do it. I mean, I feel like some of the more successful attempts have been like The Conjuring, which definitely went a little more overt with showing you stuff happening. But I know you said earlier, Frank, oh, tell me about a good moment in Paranormal Activity. I think there are quite a few great moments in otherwise not great movies where they were like, wow, that was a nail it moment of, like, super scary, knowing exactly how to use negative space to make you terrified. It's not about what you see, it's about what you don't see, and that moment that of the stuff that happens when the camera isn't right where you are. And this film takes such advantage of this. Like I said, Winnell clearly is aware of, like, all these films. He borrows very heavily from Paranormal Activity in terms of his camera work. There's this great rotating shot that reminds me of Paranormal Activity 3, where there is a camera setup that's just going slowly back and forth through a kitchen. That he uses that in a very different way, but he's using the same shot to the same effect. And I was like, damn, man, you're a guy who really understands the language visually of modern horror.
And can I add something to, like, we're talking about the director? I forgot to say it, my final thoughts.
That was final.
Well, it adds to what you're saying, like, his understanding horror. Because I would never expect a movie as subtle as this from him and as quiet. Like,
yeah.
Saw his other movies are very loud and very bad. Upgrade is very loud and very good.
Yeah.
But it's all loud and it's big and it's audacious.
And this is not loud.
It's a definitely quiet movie at times. And it's, like, subtle and things, like, the camera is pointing at nothing. And I was like, man, he is in tune with
it. It's about impressive. That. You know there's something.
Yeah.
And you're never, for the early part of this film, you're not sure. You're like, it's the Invisible Man. It's called the Invisible Man.
You never feel safe.
Clearly, there's not going to be an Invisible Man. But early on, they do this thing where she's like, okay, I'm already a little scared before we've seen any solid evidence of anything. But the camera is constantly examining the space around her. It does a lot of shots throughout the film where she is either on the left or right-hand side of the screen with lots of negative space, even when it's not a paranoia paranoia shot where it's just establishing there's more going on than you can see, than you think you see here. There's some that feels like, why is that shot that way? Because it feels unnatural that someone is like all the way on the left hand or right hand of the screen. Why are we looking at the whole rest of that? It's because it's constantly setting up this feeling there's more going on here than what we actually see. And I think it's done to, and I will say, I just think a masterful effect. I was constantly paranoid throughout this entire film. I was constantly, my eyes are darting around the frame looking for anything.
Any evidence.
And unlike a Paranormal Activity film, he is not interested in having little subtle things in the background move for a second that you can catch. He's not delivering those things to you.
Well, in the
you
restaurant,
think they are. And you think, but that's that moment where you're not. That's not in.
You're
the negative.
So caught.
That's
off guard,
not
though.
In the negative space.
Yeah.
that's why that sequence. He makes you feel. There's a sequence in this film. He makes you feel like, how could you be more possibly safe than you are in this sequence? And then he totally destroys you by making it like nothing is safe. And it works, I think, incredibly well.
Where did it fall for you in the third act?
Like I said, the third act is only that. Only problem I have with the third act is that some of the sequences they're doing with CG are indeed, and it's only $7 million. But they're a little wonky. They don't 100% work.
There's a bit of like the chase where like the demographic, like the geographical location of where like she is and some people are looking for her are, and like the way, like the timing of it all, where it's just like, the editing of it isn't quite there, but that's, again, like a budget. Like, and it's not, I wouldn't say sloppy. I've seen way worse and way, way worse. And it's just, so much of the movie is so tight. That part of it for me was like, this is kind of, I get it. Like, it's working for the story, but it doesn't seem as intense as it should right now.
But I did overall.
But it's fine.
Really enjoy this. I found there was a point about halfway through where I started going, am I going to enjoy this if I see this a second time? Because that's always a question. Like, yeah, and I don't have a problem with a film that is only about the immediate experience.
I ask myself that
like,
as well.
One of the problems I have with people who are always like, I don't care if people spoil shit with me. I'm like, I do, because that's an organic part of the storytelling process, is knowing your audience and knowing that, like, having the effect of like, oh my God, that was that, is going to have an emotional effect on you. And if you know it ahead of time, it's not going to have quite that effect. And not all the things going on plot-wise in here are completely unpredictable, certainly. But this film doesn't succeed like because of the plot, per se. It's a rather relatively basic setup. It's about Moss's performance. It's about the simplicity of what they're presenting in front of you, and the fact that the language of this type of cinema leads us to expect something other than what he actually shows us. And I think that leads us to being even more scared, because we keep not getting the things we expect to see from this type of horror cinema. I found this film really kind of terrifying at points. Yeah. I was deeply scared by it, and I love the fact that, like I said, once again, he was not using the abuse aspects of it for exploitation. He genuinely wanted to explore how abuse works, and he's doing it through her experiences with him as the antagonist, as an invisible man, exploring those ideas. These are things that abusers do to have control over people. And I thought that was deeply impressive, the way he pulled it off. I kind of love this. This is the best film I've seen this year so far. I realize it's only February, so that's not a huge stretch. But this is probably going to make my best of the year list at the end of this year.
It's up there for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if it wasn't for Portrait of a Lady on Fire, but that technically came out last year, but I just saw it.
Not a fan.
Oh, man, I fucking love it.
I was so bored. Yeah. Sorry. That's my minute capsule review of Portrait of a Lady on Fire. Nothing happens.
Oh, shit happens. She goes down.
She's on fire for like a second, is all I'm saying. But
spoiler alert.
Yeah,
geez.
Right? I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 Saw references that no one but me saw.
Yeah. I was like, what? You wish she was like,
no,
what?
There is a scene where she's like driving and like she pulls out, and on the background on a wall is a spray painted jigsaw.
I
might have seen it if the screen wasn't so dark.
That's true.
I'm excited to go see this at a legitimate theater. Get your shit together, Regal.